You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. Welcome to On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Wednesday, the 26th of August 2020. It's your daily 10-minute wrap in the day on business and finance. Later, we are going to take a closer look at the housing sector and the direction for house prices. But first, as usual, let's start with the Australian share market, and the S&P ASX 200 fell 0.73% today to 6,116 points. Each of the big four banks fell at least 1%. Telstra and BHP were also losing a fair bit of ground today on the market. We also saw some major profits as profit reporting season continued. Whitehaven Coal shares down 18%. Its profit fell 95% on lower coal prices. It will pay no dividend. Cleanaway Waste Management shares rose 8.5%. Net profit up 9% to $153 million. It also increased its dividend. And Metcash, which supplies a grocery retailer IGA, for example, and Mitre 10, its shares rose 2.4%, saying today that Q1 sales rose by more than 10%. So for more details, I spoke earlier with Francesco Stratus. He's an investment advisor at Ord Minnett.
We got, I suppose, a mixed lead from the US with the Dow slightly higher, but the NASDAQ and S&P were lower. We're sort of tracking the same daily format that they had. They were much lower through the day. We're starting to see a little bit of recovery in the market, but we are tracking for probably our worst day since the end of last month. So it's not too good. But iron ore futures were trading a bit lower in China earlier on today. Seems to be some signs of weakness in the global steel market. So, material stocks are off, except for, funny enough, Fortescue Mines. But they are still come dividend. They've got quite a large dividend. So I think the market is still trying to snap up some stock there to achieve a good yield out of that stock. So the rest of the material stocks are lower, so Rio and BHP and the like. The financials, all other sectors are lower except for the healthcare sector and utilities, which are fairly flat. Financials are driving the market down again. The big four banks are much lower. They're out of favour, and I probably think that their markets are starting to understand that they're a little bit overvalued. There's not a lot of growth in them over the next 12 to 18 months.
What do you make of reporting season so far?
The common theme of the reporting season 3 weeks into it is obviously the COVID virus and how it's impacting upon on our companies here in Australia. If we look at who has reported and where they're at, there's about 31% of companies have met expectations, about 29% have beaten their expectations, and that could be only slightly as well. There's not significant beats that I've seen. But about 40% have missed their expectations. This is probably, the below average, if you like, over the last 10 reporting seasons. So, it's not a great reporting season, but again, the coronavirus is the big theme there, and it's created headwinds for most. Companies like the airlines and travel companies have really felt the impact upon that. But with continuous disclosure, there's a fair bit of updating leading into the reporting season. But there are some that experienced tailwinds from the coronavirus, and I suppose the obvious one are the retailers, particularly the likes of JB Hi-Fi, Harvey Norman. People updating their electronics equipment, gaming equipment, whilst they're sort of stuck at home, if you like. Whilst the coronavirus has been a common theme amongst the reporting season, and most of it has been quite negative, there are some positives out there. The other one to note is Wesfarmers with Bunnings. Bunnings put forward a good result within the Wesfarmers numbers.
Francesco, I hate to feed the buy now, pay later beast, right? But I do want to talk about it today because we saw one of the lesser known brands, even though it's quite large and listed, Flexigroup, saying that it's going to rebrand. And then you've got Zip signing a deal with eBay and its shares surged around 30% at one stage today. What is going on? What's your take on the whole sector?
A little bit of euphoria in the marketplace, I think you'll find, Ricardo. I think it's a good space, but I think some of these share prices are not reflecting the underlying potential earnings, if you like. The leader in all of this is Afterpay, and they've had a stellar performance from the share price. And look, their underlying numbers are okay, and there's growth in them, obviously. But does the share price justify, or does the growth justify the current share prices? I think they're a little bit heated at the moment. I know most analysts around the marketplace have positive recommendations on a lot of these stocks. But with investors out there, I caution a little bit that some of these share prices are way above what potential earnings might be there. There is a lot of growth in the industry because it's only new, but with that comes a lot of competition as well. So Afterpay is the first, they've got the first mover advantage in all of this, and they've got a large network of customers on their books, which encourages the retailers to sign up with Afterpay. A lot of these other ones that have come in a bit later, I'd be a little bit cautious. But look, whilst the share price is running, investors are happy.
Francesco Destratis there from Ord Minnett. He's an investment advisor. Don't forget, the information is general in nature and you should consult a licensed financial advisor to make sure any investment decision that you make is right for you. Let's now take a closer look at the housing sector, because we are seeing a bit of a downturn in construction. That's a concern because construction is really a big employer for the Australian economy. There were some statistics from the Bureau of Statistics. Total construction work done down 0.7% in the second quarter. That is better than expected, but that's because of a pickup in the private sector construction. As you can see, engineering up 3.8%. But there was a big fall in residential building work done, down 5.5%. And the concern going forward is that there may be fewer residential and non-residential projects in the pipeline. So that's a bit of a worry. So what is the outlook? We spoke earlier with Diana Messina from AMP Capital, the senior economist there.
Look, the housing sector is quite mixed at the moment. There are reasons to think that construction is likely to slow. We've seen some signs that home prices have fallen by about 3% since their peak across all capital cities, more so in Melbourne. I think that more falls are likely in the housing market. Generally, when you see lower price growth, you do tend to see construction respond. However, at the same time, we've got the government's home builder program that's likely to put upward pressure on new construction activity and demand for new homes. So I do think that in the next 6 to 12 months, we'll see some further weakness in residential construction, but it won't be as big of a fall as I was probably expecting at the beginning of the pandemic. Maybe another 5% fall or so from here, but not that much further than that.
So that combined with COVID-19, what does it mean for house prices? ANZ put out a release on that today. It says that nationally house prices are expected to fall by about 10%. Around the country, Perth down 4%, Adelaide down 3%, Darwin down 9%, Brisbane down 6%, Canberra down 2%, Hobart off by 8%, but the biggest ones, Sydney prices are expected to fall by 13% according to ANZ, and Melbourne by 15%. So for more, I spoke with ANZ economist Adelaide Timbrell. Adelaide, how would you describe how house prices have held up during the pandemic?
So house prices have held up relatively well during the pandemic compared to a lot of other economic indicators. We've seen unemployment skyrocket and a lot of other economic pain happen so far, but prices have only fallen about 1.3% from their peak in April. And we think that JobKeeper, mortgage deferrals and other fiscal stimulus has been a big player in that.
ANZ, though, still expects overall prices to decline 10%, though. Why?
So when we think about housing prices, we've got to think about how many people are there in the market and how much money do they have. With unemployment up and with wage growth, our wage growth outlook looking actually negative in the next year, the average person is going to have less money, and that means less borrowing capacity for a mortgage. On the other hand, we're also able to see less people in the market, as both on the rental side, younger people who were hit hardest by the pandemic in terms of employment are likely to be leaving the rental market, meaning higher vacancies and lower returns for investors. And then on the owner-occupier side, we're likely to see, you know, less people upgrading their homes due to the lower consumer confidence and lower income going around.
Aussies, though, that they are ahead on their repayments, aren't they? And interest rates are at record lows. So that at least must be good news for values or owners anyway.
Yeah, so the Reserve Bank has cut interest rates twice since the start of the pandemic, and that certainly helped ease mortgage costs for a lot of people. And by international standards, Australian arrears, so people very behind on their mortgages, is at a pretty low rate. However, we did see 500,000 mortgages, or about $1.95 billion worth of mortgages, included in the group of people who asked for assistance or deferrals across Australia. These were a little bit more likely to be owner-occupiers than others, and we can assume that some of these people were taking it as a precautionary measure rather than an immediate need. But it is one stat that we see there could be some concerns for at least pockets of housing stress. And one thing about low interest rates, while it has helped a lot of people, especially people who have had mortgages for a while, the most high risk mortgages are in that 0 to 3 year phase, and they started with that lower interest rate, so it doesn't help them quite as much.
And from my understanding, one of the things that helped property prices over the past couple of years in Australia anyway, apart from low interest rates, is this increase in population growth, especially migrant growth, right? So what's the outlook for prices given that we are going through COVID-19 and that growth has slowed?
Yeah, so population growth has been a really important part of Australia's economy. We grow a lot faster in population than other advanced economies. And over the next year, that's going to decrease by quite a lot. About two-thirds of our population comes from immigration, and we think that that'll be 85% lower next year than usual. So that means for landlords, there are less residents coming in, filling up vacancies for rental properties, and it also means less people coming in bidding up those auction prices when it comes to buying a home as well. And when there is higher unemployment, we also tend to see less natural increase. So even within Australia, less people expanding their families and then upgrading their homes as part of that too.
Adelaide Timbrell there from ANZ. She's an economist there again, talking about the direction of property prices. Tomorrow, the big piece of our news should be the results from Woolworths. We'll have all those details then. But for now, that's On The Money for this Wednesday, the 26th of August 2020. Don't forget, you can contact me on Twitter at BusinessRicardo. See you next time.